The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, besties.
Hey, it's us from the future.
It's us from the future.
Technically your past, but our future.
And like sort of present at the same exact time.
All at once.
So whatever day it is or wherever you're at, we just wanted to welcome you to the final episode of season 3.
Wow.
Wow. I'm so excited. So this is episode 157. You're going to hear that again. But as you can tell by the title, we are doing Reddit stories today with Ladies and Tangents.
If you didn't listen to the part one with Ladies and Tangents, that was posted on this past Tuesday on their feed. It's good. If you want to hear us literally break down crying. If you want to see Morgan get emotional for the first time and probably the only time,
go right there.
Go right now and listen.
Yeah, it's such
it was
a good
such
episode.
A fun episode too, though.
We
they are awesome.
Love Jerry and Sierra. We're so happy to be able to like show you guys this. But the reason why you're probably like, why the hell are you guys talking to us right now? Let us listen to the episode. You're going
we got
to get
a couple
the full
announcements.
Episode. Yeah, we got a few things that we need to say. Number one about this episode, it was recorded on August 10th. Of 2023, which was also 3 days
after my tornado situation.
Right.
So bear with us.
Bear with us. It obviously, like, the emotions were running really high and there was a lot of uncertainty. We're so thankful that we recorded this when we did because it saved us so much time and stress. And I think it was the perfect timing.
It was perfect.
Perfect timing. So we're really excited for you guys to finally get to hear this, but we wanted to make, you know, let you know so you could keep that in mind because you're probably going to be like, what the hell are they talking
and
about?
And you won't see us again until next season.
Till next season.
But we have some really fun things that are going to be coming out.
Yes.
Hopefully on the first, we will have our season 4 trailer video.
Yes.
You guys aren't even ready.
You're not
for
even
that.
Ready.
That is going to be crazy.
We'll explain it in the first episode of season 4, which is going to come out on the first Thursday in October for the public. Now, for our Patreons,
hey,
you know, hey, OG Pickneys, what's going on? You will be getting the first look at CNC season 4 with a bonus episode dropped on October 1st and a look at the brand new studio.
Oh.
Also, there's going to be a big surprise dropping on Monday.
The second.
Keep an eye out. All right.
We're so excited for you guys to see that too.
We're so excited. There's so much
we
coming.
Have so many new things coming. Season 4 is going to be awesome. It is our angel number. It's got to be our year.
It's our year. It has to be. And it falls in 2024. So it's our fourth season in the year 2024.
The angel year.
Angel year,
what's
bitch.
That called when your birthday is on?
Your golden year.
It's our golden
it's
year.
It's our golden year. So anyways, we just wanted to thank you guys for listening to us for the last 3 seasons. We're so excited for season 4. This is it, guys. This is not like it. Like, it's not over, but it's it. You know, it's
but this
the
is
one.
The one.
This is the one. And this season has been so awesome. We love you all so much.
We love, 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 love you.
We'll literally see you on next Thursday.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. But enjoy
no
listening.
Days off.
Yes, no days off, babes. Turn on the notifications for our Instagram because there are so many big announcements and fun things that we do celebrating season 4 like we do every single season.
It's our birthday.
It's Creeps and Crimes birthday. So get hype. Turn on the notifications for our Instagram.
Go buy a cupcake, put a candle in it, and sing happy motherfucking birthday to us.
To us.
On October 1st.
100%. And yeah, merch is coming. That's all I'm going to say.
Love ya.
Love you.
See
bye.
In a bit.
Enjoy the app. Yo, 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 and welcome back to Creeps and Crimes
Podcast.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Morgan.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
And this is episode 157.
This is the last episode of... What season is this?
Season 3.
Season 3. Ladies and Tangents, we're so excited to fucking have you on, finally.
It's so excited to be here.
A year in the making.
Yeah.
A whole year.
Literally a year in the making.
A whole year. And honestly, that's what I was telling my husband earlier. I was like, you know, we've actually been talking to them since we signed with Grayson. And we have literally never once, we just immediately were like, let's just set a random fucking day and we'll all be there.
You
and
have
that's
to.
How this worked.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll just keep saying, yeah, we definitely, this is how I am with all of my friends. That's why some of them I haven't seen in 2 years. So we're always like, we definitely need to get together. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait to see you. And then the next time it's like, definitely need to get together soon.
Right, gotta get together.
My favorite is, hey, next time you're home, we gotta get together. I'm like, Oh, well, that's 10 of you.
Yeah.
I'm home for one day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'll be so there. I'll see you guys on the 15th trip home. Right. Thank you. Yeah. I got everyone else
I'll be
scheduled.
There on the 15th. We're all going to go to dinner at 7 o'clock. If you can be there, be there.
Yep. If you can't come, that's on you, babe. That's yeah. on
we
you.
Need, we need like the MySpace again so you can prioritize. Like, sorry, only people in my top 8 and really the only the top 4 are going to make the cut.
Wait.
That was so
you
toxic.
Know when I think about that's so toxic, even more so, was when Snapchat would show everyone your top friends.
Okay, how about the fact that I had straight up proof that my boyfriend was cheating on me at the time.
Me too.
And he was so good at gaslighting that he had me convinced that that's not really what it was like. He's like, no, that just means that my ex looks at my story a lot. Not that I'm messaging her, even though she's my number one.
No.
No, not
at all. And I was like,
you're right. That bitch
okay,
is crazy.
That must be what yeah. it is. She's literally stalking you. You should do something about
that. I will say, when they took that shit away, I'm like, wait a second. I need that back.
Yeah, honestly, we need to have that back immediately.
I never really used it. I was not allowed to have social media growing up, which I do think was like, I take a lot of issue with my parents' parenting, but I do think that was a good idea because mm-hmm. one,
it was the same way.
A lot of the stuff, you can't find me. I don't exist.
No, when you were 2010. Saying dumb shit online or when we would have. Yeah.
I wasn't there.
I still got the opportunity to say the dumbest shit you could ever think online.
I was never allowed MySpace. I made a Twitter on my own for the Justin Bieber movie. I followed one person, Justin Bieber. And yes. I only tweeted one time and it said bored. Like, I'm bored, but it was B-O-A-R-D with a frowny face.
A fucking cardboard.
That was it. That's all I tweeted. But in seventh grade, I screamed, cried, begged my mom for a Facebook. And she was like, no. And I was like, I will clean my room every day. 7 months, I'll do all the dishes. Like, you know, like I was like really.
You got to
really,
bargain, you know.
Really trying to bargain. And then one day she just let me. And I think I was probably in 8th grade, maybe like 7th grade summer.
Yeah.
Damn, we were in college, right? I was in college whenever I got
the
a
The only
Facebook.
Reason I was allowed to get a Facebook is so I could contact my college roommate who did ghost me. Even after we were living together, she would like not speak to me at all. And what I was like, fuck? Do you hate me or what?
Can you just write a status about a cryptic status? I'll figure this out.
She was sub-tweet in a sorority me. As sub-tweet. Well. So that just fueled like my bias.
Y'all were in sororities?
No, my roommate was.
I lasted in college half a semester and then I dropped out. So not me. Definitely not this girl.
We were in sororities. We were actually just talking to Em and Christine about it like 5 minutes ago.
Like before we got on the call with you.
Yeah, just before we got on the call with you, I was sending them the most embarrassing photos I could find of me and Morgan being sorority girls.
We made it through 4 years.
Did you sorority squat?
Oh fuck yeah. But we were like here, we'll show you. Let me show you.
A sorority squat's where you put your like hands on your knees.
Oh, they're gonna do it. There it is. Yes. There it is.
No, we were Delta like Gammas. We were Delta Gammas. Anyways, guys, well, I'm so excited to have you on.
Us too. We're so happy to be here.
Yeah, we got to get this ball rolling.
We got to get the ball rolling. All right, Morgan, so hit him with it.
If you're driving, throw that shit on cruise control.
If you got a glass, pour that shit up.
And let's get creepy.
Okay, time out. Because there's something that we have to talk about. And it centers around part one of this episode. If you already listened, you know, during the episode, we were talking about fast food. What did we have to do? Oh, yeah. Immediately order some from DoorDash.
Immediately Sonic in our hands. We needed it right then, right there.
Absolutely.
Guys, we are so obsessed with DoorDash. It's not even funny.
No, if you're wondering how much we use DoorDash, just don't.
Because it's every day.
Because it's the most insane amount.
Even though you can walk to Chick-fil-A, we will still DoorDash.
We will still DoorDash it. So sorry.
Any meeting, any recording, we're there. We're ordering sushi, Chick-fil-A, Sonic, anything you could possibly think of. Because why? It's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
We love DoorDash and you will too. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. Game changer. changer.
Iconic. With thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order.
You will get exactly what you ordered, or DoorDash will make it right.
Yep.
So just sit back, enjoy quality groceries, just like you picked them out yourself.
And you want even more? Because DoorDash said they will give you more, bestie. You can save on all of your groceries and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with the Dash Pass membership.
With easy substitutions right in the app and best-in-class customer support, DoorDash delivers groceries exactly how you want it.
So get 50% off of your first DoorDash order up to $20 value when you use our code CREEPSANDCRIMES at checkout. Limited time offer, terms do apply.
That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code CREEPSANDCRIMES.
Don't forget, that's code CREEPSANDCRIMES for 50% off of your first order with DoorDash.
XOXO DoorDash, we literally love you.
We are obsessed. Thanks, bye.
Are you going on date after date and still not finding the one or getting a text back? Well, you're probably doing something wrong. And I am here to tell you exactly what that is. I'm Lindsay Metzler and I host We Met at Acme. It's a dating podcast that gives you all the rules and guidelines that you need to date successfully. Hey, it worked for me and now I'm married. So you really should give it a listen if you haven't already. And you can also hear the horrors of dating. Everything that you want to hear is in We Met at Acme, so check it out.
Interrupting once again to give you yet another tease because we love a clickbait moment. So we were telling you all about our studio renovations and how stressful it was. But what was really stressful about it is watching our bank account.
And thanks to Rocket Money, we were able to see when our weekly spending average was a little more than usual.
It was 120% higher than typical.
Shout out Best Buy.
Shout out Best Buy. Shout out all of the reno needs.
But we love Rocket Money for that because they're holding us accountable to our budget that we set for ourselves prior to renovating our studio.
And it has helped so much to see where we're at in the budget, especially when it tells us that we're actually going below budget so we can afford a little treats every now and again.
Like maybe some more subscriptions.
Which we find a lot of when it comes to newspaper articles. And I don't know about y'all, but we just be forgetting about our subscriptions.
We really do. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Chef's kiss.
With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the ones that you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you.
And they can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. It is amazing.
With over 3 million users and counting, Rocket Money customers have saved an average of $720 a year.
So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
That's rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes. So we're going to be doing Reddit scary stories, like a Reddit special. Okay, so the first one we have is from the Reddit thread True Scary Stories, and it's by Deleted. The account has been deleted. Either way, it's titled Traumatizing Night Shift, parentheses, true story. This is probably the creepiest, most unexplainable thing that has ever happened to me. I used to work overnight as a security guard at the local port. Usually none of the port workers would stay overnight except for the safety official. I wouldn't be on the shift alone since the site has a radius of nearly 2 miles. Overnight, usually there would be 3 guards, including me. Since the area was fairly big, there were different posts, but front gate was the main entrance area where all the guards would be stationed overnight since there was no need to put them in other posts due to the fact that there was no activity in the site at this time. The veteran guards that have been there for years would often say that the site was haunted, given the fact that there have been accidents and deaths that occurred in the area a long time ago. I was aware that people died there due to freak accidents, and I do believe in angels and demons since I'm actually a religious person, but I always thought that the superiors were just messing with the new guys. I would work 5 to 6 nights out of the week, and for the first few weeks, I never really saw or heard anything out of the ordinary, except for maybe a few questionable creaks and would see a few misplaced objects while doing my patrol rounds, but nothing too crazy. Just to describe the setting to you, this is a fairly big site, and on occasions when there were big projects being constructed at the port, the workers would sometimes stay overnight. Due to the fact that there were times where port workers were required to stay at the port for a few days, there's a gym in the site for their convenience. This gym is fairly old, but in the gym, there is a sauna, weights, and even a racquetball court.
Wait, why are there like top priority? We got to get a fucking gym in here.
If I'm a security guard at the port and there's a sauna there,
I'd be happy about the sauna, but like, I don't need a fucking treadmill and some weights. Like, just,
I don't need a racquetball court.
Yeah. You know what I would prefer is like a sleepy nap room. Can I get a nap room?
Who am I playing against? Myself?
Racquetball is fun against yourself.
Are we talking about like a port, like a shipping port?
That's
like
what I'm thinking.
With like water and...
I'm thinking like a harbor.
Boats.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm envisioning right now. Yeah. I don't know for sure though. If you don't know what a racquetball court is, it's similar to an indoor tennis court with thin plastered walls and thick glass doors. Usually on our patrol rounds, me and one of the other guards, Mike, would stop by... Okay, so he does have a friend. Mike.
Oh, Mike.
We'd stop by the gym and play a few rounds of racquetball before returning back to the front gate. On one of those nights, me and Mike decided to hit a full workout instead of playing racquetball in the cage.
Okay.
We're going to go pump some iron.
This is around 2:30 a.m. that they're playing racquetball. And the entire building is so quiet. This is night shift, 2:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And the entire building is so quiet that you can hear the electricity running through the lights.
I hate that.
The air conditioner is off and so is everything else. The only thing that's running are the lights. 15 to 20 minutes into the workout,
fucking racketball.
No. They're pumping iron. They don't want to be a racquetball night. Don't get it twisted. They're pumping iron. Fucking workout right now. 15 to 20 minutes into the workout, we hear a loud thump. We crossed it off as nothing and continued working out. Then, after a few more minutes, we heard the loud thump once more. At first, we thought it was our lieutenant, which could have been walking around. But then we radioed him, and he gave us his location, which was front gate.
Racquetball court.
We tried thinking logically on what could be making those thumps on the wall. They were coming from the court on the other side. We thought it was the air conditioner, but then we remembered that it was off. And even when it switched on during the day, there's no reports of thumps coming from the air conditioner. After a few more minutes, the thumps started occurring one right after another. We were very creeped out at this point, but what we were about to witness still scares the absolute shit out of me till this day. We started to approach the other side of the gym to where the glass door was.
We
turned on the flashlight and aimed it towards the clear glass door, and I got chills all over my body. And I started tearing. I got in that racquetball court. I was fucking that shit up.
Tearing it up.
No. He started.
I'm like, you want to step to me, ghost? I think not. Do you know how long I've been on these courts?
Me and Mike, we out here every night. Don't even fucking try to one-on-one.
Night shift
right
type shit.
Mike's court.
2v2?
You're going to have to beat me for this court.
This is my fucking court, bitch. Oh, I run these courts. Okay. Shit. So he started tearing so much out of fear that he was about to cry. We saw one of the balls rolling slowly by itself inside the court, but there was no one in there. So that means the loud thumps were the balls mysteriously being tossed against the wall as if someone or something was playing inside the cage. We were both so confused and frightened to how this was really happening, and we couldn't make any sense of it. We were scared shitless, and we started yelling and running away because we knew that there was probably something toying with us right there. As we sprinted
arms up.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Just got done working out.
And you have to run after you just fucking worked out? No.
Oh, then you know those legs are noodles.
Yeah. We sprinted full speed back to the front gate, the lieutenant saw us and asked why we were tearing and running in a ridiculous manner. We told him what we witnessed, and his facial expression scared us even more. He then said, quote, "That's why there's always guards that quit often. There is something evil in there, and it's not the first time that something that bad has happened here." He then showed us security footage of dark figures and shadows. I can't take the story seriously.
I can't either.
He's like, "That's not the first time we've seen the demon play racquetball.
Something evil is in there."
He then showed us security footage of dark figures in shadows literally passing through the office areas and lights mysteriously switching on and off. Till this day, I still get chills recounting my experience with my friends and family. And I'm even getting chills right now as I'm typing this. I had never had a real encounter with the supernatural until that night. Many say that it was a demonic presence messing around. Others say it was a ghost of a dead person who had died in there.
Okay, pause.
We just had to really hammer that part.
Because it wasn't a ghost of an alive friend.
It was a ghost of a dead person that died in there. So anyway, he says that it's a ghost of not an alive person, but of a dead person who died.
Right. Okay. Or a demon.
Yeah, or a demon. I don't know what it was, but it didn't last long in the job after that. There were other experiences, but I'll send it at a later time.
Here's my problem, and Jerry, both of ours as well, which is why we don't do spooky things. They never end up actually being spooky because we hate being scared. So we will make a joke out of literally anything that gets a little bit creepy. Well, so that, I apologize if that, we do that here.
No, don't apologize.
We've also experienced so many things.
Really, really scary.
Same.
That to me, I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, ghost playing racquetball.
The fucking demon was playing racquetball.
That just sounds like you have a partner all the time. That sounds
right.
Crazy.
It sounds like now you don't have to play with Mike. You have a partner that might be able to challenge you.
Mike fucking
Maybe next
sucks.
Time Mike wants to pump iron, and you really want to play racquetball. Now
you got
someone, buddy.
You got a partner.
I can't believe that people leave the job over the poor ghost who's playing racquetball.
It's just lonely.
I just don't understand why he jumped so quick to demonic. Mike, clearly you didn't live with Morgan and Taylor. I mean, whatever your name is.
I don't mean to minimize people's experiences, but it is hard to have a bigger reaction when you've dealt with bigger things.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So the next one we have is from also True Scary Stories thread on Reddit. And this was posted 3 years ago by user Veggie Maniac. And the title of it is, I went to a serial killer's lair. Here we go.
Amazing.
Hello, Redditors. Here is a story that I have never told anyone, partly because elements of this story are just not appropriate in most social situations. As a result, I have locked this away in my memory and I rarely think about it. Fair warning, this story does involve some sketchy sexual situations, but does not describe any sexual acts. I am completely aware that this story does involve me being very stupid and careless. I'm not going to inject these acknowledgements into the story, but rest assured that in hindsight, I'm aware of the foolishness that took place and I don't need to be chided.
No idea what that word is.
Chided.
It is chided.
Chided. What the fuck does that mean?
I fucked up a lot with words. I think it's so chided. I know. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Chastise?
Yeah.
Don't talk down to me. Yeah.
Now, where to begin? The year was approximately 1998 through 1999. I was a young gay man in my early 20s living in a medium-sized city in the Midwestern United States. This was a sort of an in-between transitional time for gay people, where in most populous areas, we had enough respect to live openly, but there were still plenty of people who did not like us. It was well before the invention of the smartphone, and the internet was still in the early stages of mass adoption. There were large communities online, but it was not at the point where most Americans were online. Online socialization consisted of chat rooms hosted by various servers like AOL, Yahoo, and IRC, and message boards were still in use by large numbers of people. For gay men at that time, it was nothing short of revolutionary. Prior to the internet and to the broader cultural changes, gay men had been stuck looking for fun in secretive and or shady places due to the inability to freely express ourselves. In the 90s, it was still somewhat risky, but the internet offered a way to talk freely and relatively anonymously without the risk of being outed or worse. For this reason, it really took off in the gay communities, and gay men were a very large part of the user bases for these social platforms. It was suddenly very easy and relatively safe to find dates, friends, or just sex, and it quickly became the norm for a lot of gay men. On the other hand, being such a new communication tool for most people, we were sometimes blind to the risks. Being an attractive young man in my prime, I made liberal use of my online communities to find dates. That is to say, I had plenty of hookups. My city had a decent number of chat rooms and personal message boards, and I had mostly great experiences. I met the typical assortment of good guys, closeted cases, and weirdos that you would expect. I wasn't an absolute hoe by most standards, but suffice to say that a cute gay guy at that time could generally have a lot more dates than your typical straight person, LOL. At some point during this time, I had some brief chat on a message board with a guy from the city. I forget his screen name. It's been over 20 years. So let's call him Slim Guy 65. This was back
Slim Jim.
Slim Jim. This back and forth had happened on a general thread in a gay section, not in the private messages. So it was visible to anyone who chose to read that thread. Nothing had come of it, but a week later, I received an email from an unrecognized address. The email basically said, "Hey, I'm not gay and I don't agree with the gay lifestyle. I'm here because my friend met this Slim Guy 65 person from this message board, and the guy really hurt him. I don't want this to happen to anyone else. My friend tried to tell the police, but they wouldn't do anything. I see that you were talking to Slim Guy 65, so just be careful and stay away from him."
Mm.
Holy fuck. Okay, that's strange. What does this person mean by really hurt him? Was his heart broken? Did he get beaten up or verbally abused or what?
Yeah, that's a difficult thing to try to interpret.
Right. Yeah. Like, what do you mean by that?
Because one is like, oh, yeah, that sucks. But the other one is like, oh, that's a very like dangerous harmed, situation.
Right. I responded to the email.
Would you go, though? At what point, like,
neither.
Is hurting, would you be like, oh, so he got his heart broken, whatever, get in line. Like, yeah. I stay heartbroken.
You know?
Or would you be like, does it have to be physical? Does it have to, like, what would
he already said that he made mistakes, so I think.
But no, I'm saying, like, personally for you, if it was emotional.
In my early 20s, I would have taken the risk.
That's what I'm saying. You would take the risk on your heart and your body, I feel like.
No,
you
right.
Have. Yeah, and I have. And that's how I know.
Yeah. I feel like everybody when you're young, it's like you feel the need to experience it for yourself to believe it, like truly, like,
and you're
to
also
see it, to
such
it.
A gonna be me person. Won't happen.
Right.
Yes. 100%. And that's why I feel like, as thoughtful as this person was to be like, "Hey, watch out." I don't know how many people would heed that warning.
Exactly.
Right. And also it's like, "Hey, watch out." And then that's like putting a "do not touch this" giant red button.
I know.
Sign
and now
on
I want
to
touch it harder.
Right. And now it's like, well, I got to fucking get to the bottom of this. Like, yeah. I can't take your word for it. What if you're just
a
jealous
ex?
I'm
the one to change him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is literally my motto until I met my husband. And I was like, finally, someone fix me. Thank God.
Please.
Please, yep, I need it. Okay. I responded to the email asking for clarification on what exactly happened, but I never received a response. I was slightly weirded out by it, but on the other hand, it's an anonymous email from someone who doesn't respond and is vague about their warning. This could be anything. It could be some disgruntled ex. Literally, did I not just, I knew. It could be some disgruntled ex trying to mess it up with the guy. It could be a real warning about someone gay bashing. It could be someone trolling who doesn't have anything to do with anyone. I kept it in the back of my mind.
But that's exactly what
pretty
my
much shrugged it off. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several weeks later, I had a weekday off of work and I decided to take to the internet to fish for some dick.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really?
As was my custom. Lo and behold, I had an email response to a personal ad. It was Slim Guy 65. He was offering to meet at his place to hang out and just have a good time. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I won't go into the details of it. As I recall, there were not many details discussed other than the small talk and intros that we had done previously. Nothing about this guy was really sounding interesting to me, but I had no other offers on this day, so I decided, why not? I'll go see what this dude is about. As I typed my reply, I suddenly remembered that strange email I had received warning me about this person. I went back and I reread the email. Still vague. Still presenting more questions and no answers. Should I take this anonymous warning at face value or just ignore SG65? I decided to go and check him out anyway. His address was on a rather busy street in the middle of a dense residential area, not some shack out in the middle of the woods, and I can handle myself. Mm-hmm. If he's weird, I can just get the fuck out of there. Before long, I arrived at the house at the agreed time. It was a duplex-style house with one apartment on the ground floor and one on the second floor, part of a row of several different identical duplexes. It was in the middle of the afternoon. There was plenty of traffic on the street and the occasional person out on the porch or in their backyard. I pulled up the driveway to the parking area behind the house, got out, and knocked on the door. The guy that answered was pretty normal, kind of a mousy-looking man, probably in his 40s. Slight, slim build, soft-spoken, looks like any guy working in an office cubicle somewhere. Not really my type, but honestly, my curiosity was peaked.
A dick's a dick at that point.
Right. A dick is a dick at that point. And I had nothing better to do. And so at that point, then it's just like, you're even more doomed. So I stepped inside to take a look around and gauge the situation with that warning email fresh in my mind. I stepped into the back door into the kitchen. It was very clean and there was nothing out on the counters and no table and no chairs or anything. That to say, it did not look like someone was living there. It had been kept up and cleaned, but looked empty.
Ooh, I'd immediately run.
Looking out into the apartment, I could see that it was not set up as a living space. A large window with sliding glass was between the kitchen and the living room. And I could see what looked like a large table out in the living room area. Slim Guy 65 said something like, "This isn't where I live. A friend of mine let me use it. He ran a doctor's office here." Wait, what?
What the fuck?
It sounds like where I got my tummy tucked. A friend of mine used to run a doctor's office here. No. I maintain the building for him. It's private, though, and we have the place to ourselves. Weird, but okay.
Red flag.
Yeah.
Ooh, he shut the back door and he locks it.
Oh no.
With a keyed deadbolt. The kind that you need a key to open even from the inside, and put the key in his pocket, saying, "So what do you want to do?"
Oh no. I want you to give me that fucking key right now.
At this point, my danger sense spiked. This is not a normal home. And why is he locking the door like that? It's not necessarily sus. A lot of people have that sort of lock on their door and the door has a window. So it even makes sense.
Still, something gaslighting himself.
That
is suspect.
That is literally my MO. I will gaslight myself so
you
hard.
Have to.
Yeah. Because I'm kind of over.
To keep your panic at bay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I have anxiety. I have to tell myself it's all going to be okay.
Strap my anxiety in with some gaslighting.
Fine. Yeah, right. It's the only way I can reel it back in. Only way.
Yep.
Still, something is not right here, and I can tell. And now I am locked in. I asked him why he was locking the door like that, which immediately flustered him. He was looking rather nervous, and his voice was a little wavery and halting. Not quite stuttering, but almost. He said, quote, "Well, we don't want someone to come in and interrupt us, right?" Flashing a weak,
doctor's appointment.
Unconvincing smile. Literally, this is a doctor's office, sir.
Right.
Like,
did you check in?
What?
Using the mobile app?
It's HIPAA.
His demeanor and his body language were all I needed to confirm that this guy was up to no good. And at least there was something that he was hiding. However, I could tell that I was intimidating him. I was not a particularly muscular kid, but I have a large frame. Like, even when I am my very thinnest, I still wear a size large in tops and 36 waist pants. So I look big. Thank you for the measurement, sir.
I really love a visual. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Which people tend to interpret as me being stronger than I actually am. Also, I am not a tough guy at all. People who don't know me often assume that I am rough or something. I sometimes use this to my advantage while I can, because before long, a new acquaintance will eventually figure out that I am a total wimp. LOL. But this was definitely an occasion to play up the tough guy appearance. And that's exactly what I did. I put on my best steely face and told him to unlock the door and that I did not want to be locked in here. He looked for a moment like he was going to pee his pants, then said, "Okay, all right, I'll unlock this." He unlocked the deadbolt, and "I'll just lock the knob here." And he turned the little dial on the lock of the doorknob. That was fine with me. I continued to stare at him until he said, "I'll leave the key on the counter right here." And he set his key down near the sink. I was relatively satisfied with this answer. At this point, though, my adrenaline was flowing. I was almost in a full fight or flight mode, but I was kind of stuck in this place.
Happens to be when I'm scared. I'm so horny.
I'm so terrified. Do you want to fuck?
So
ready to go.
Let's go.
Adrenaline just is filling my dick.
But I was kind of stuck in this place. This guy was standing between me and the door. I was freaked out, but this little weasel did not appear to pose any immediate physical threat to me. I could tell that his pant pockets were empty and that I was intimidating the living hell out of him. I didn't know yet exactly what to do. Now, keep in mind that despite my wordy description, this all happened very quickly without any really long pauses. But it had been maybe 1 or 2 minutes since I had stepped in the door. This all happened at the pace of a conversation. The guy was obviously nervous and trying not to appear so. He said, "Well, let's go in," and walked a wide path around me through the kitchen into what would normally be the living room and towards the hall to the right from there. I was familiar with the floor layout. It is very common in this area. The hallways would lead to two small bedrooms with a bathroom in between them. I hesitated, thinking I should just walk out that back door and take off. But really,
but what am I
now
gonna do with this huge raging boner?
But really, now hard. I was super curious. I knew that there was no way in hell I'm doing anything with this guy. So now we're just fucking curious at this point.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to take me. Also, I'm confident that he can't take me if it comes to a fight. So I slowly headed towards that living room. I felt like I was walking in slow motion. From the kitchen entrance, I could see a large rectangular stainless steel table taking up a lot of the living room. I remember thinking, this looks like a surgical table.
Oh, no.
It looked like it could rise and it could tilt. And it had a recessed channel running all the way around the edge. In hindsight, I know what this was. It was 100% a mortician's table. Dude had a mortician's table in there.
Ew.
But at that time, I thought it looked like a medical table of some sort. But,
and he did think it was a doctor's office.
Right. There was some other type of office type cabinets and stuff all around. I think, but now all I can really remember is that table in that room. The large front window looking out onto the street was covered by vertical blinds that were closed. Slim Guy 65 said something like, quote, "This used to be a doctor's office. Like I said, come on back here." So he's not even out there. What? He's in the back room and he knows that he's looking at the shit being like, what the literal fuck
come
is going on?
Come on back here. We're ready for what?
We're ready for you.
I know. I'm like, I'm kind of
going to need you to step on this scale and I'm also going to see how tall you are.
Can I get your blood pressure?
Is this guy just like kinky, wants to make a porno?
I don't know.
I don't get the vibe here.
I don't
maybe
either.
Maybe like a doctor's office.
Anyone who has vertical blinds.
Red flag.
I don't trust you.
The hallway revealed a room setup that I expected. The first bedroom door was closed. The second door was open to a small, very bathroom. And at the end of the hallway, there was the other bedroom, which looked like, if the doctor's office story was true, it had at one time been converted into an exam room. He said, "We can go into that room if you want. Go ahead and take a look." He stayed by the other closed bedroom door. The back bedroom
door
was open. And I could see that the walls were covered in a honey-colored wood paneling, the type that you might see in a den or an office that hasn't been updated since the early 1970s. I slowly took a few steps down to that door, trying to be very aware of what Mr. Creepy was doing behind me. He didn't move. When I got up to that room, the first thing I noticed was that the door had a keyed deadbolt lock, like the back door. This room locked from the outside. I wondered if there was a lever on the inside, but I pretty much knew the answer to that question without needing to check. I also saw a chair, a non-swiveling plastic desk chair with thin metal legs sitting near the center of the room.
Nope.
The room had old dark carpet and those wood paneled walls with no windows. And I know that room had at least one window, probably two. So whoever did that paneling went over the windows.
Covered it up.
Ew.
There was also a phone in there plugged in and sitting in the floor. It was an old office phone, probably around the 80s or early 90s. Dingy beige plastic with several buttons to manage different phone lines. Just sitting on the carpet near the wall, with the chair at a slight distance facing that phone. There was nothing else in that room. I was standing at the threshold of that room with 1 foot slightly in, absolutely not going past the door. I looked back at dude. He was still standing by that other door, just nervously smiling at me, trying hard to look casual, but obviously very nervous or something. And then he said something
obviously
like,
very hard.
"Well, what do you want to do?" Instead of answering, I felt around the backside of the deadbolt lock. Sure enough, there was nothing there but a smooth wood door. It also dawned on me that I did not see a light switch anywhere for that ceiling lamp.
Ew.
Where was the switch? Who knows? It should have been inside of the door, of course, but that original switch was covered up by the paneling. He mumbled something about not having a key to that lock, so I didn't need to worry about it. I turned back to face the guy and I just said, "What is it that you want to do here?" My skin had gone ice cold as I realized I was way, way, way too far into this apartment. I was running through the options in my head. What was this guy going to do? He doesn't appear to have a weapon or anything in reach, but who the fuck knows what's going on in this place? What are you trying to do? He almost totally derailed by that. He stammered out, "Some hot man-to-man fun," with the weakest smile I've ever seen, looking like he was just... Wait, what?
It was a sword fight.
Looking like he was just a hair's breadth away from panicking.
Hair's breadth.
Hair's breadth? That's a thing?
It says hair's breadth.
Yeah.
Hair's breath. Idiot.
I think that's right. I don't know.
She was an English teacher, so.
Yeah, I didn't graduate college, so don't fucking take what I say.
I don't read books, though.
I do read a lot of books, and that sounds like something I'd read in a hair's breath.
Hair's breath?
I don't even know what that is. Anyways, we're going to take his word for it. It sounds comical, but really, that sentence was probably the most chilling part of the entire experience for me. It was the way that he said it. It was like something he had to come up with, something on the fly, something that would sound plausible, and he failed. Who says that in real life? Hey, do you want to have some hot man-to-man fun? Nobody. It's something that you would see on an advertisement for some cheesy porn website or something. Some hot man-to-man fun, smile with lips quivering. That was it. I said, "Nope, I want to go. I'm leaving." He said, "Okay." I quickly walked past him as he flattened himself out against the wall to avoid me. I noped right out through that living room dissection area and through the kitchen to the back door, which was thankfully still not deadbolted. The key was sitting on the counter. I let myself out of the door and I did not bother closing it behind me as I saw him slowly coming to the door behind me. I deliberately walked, not ran, to my car. Looking back at the building, I could see that indeed there was a window facing the backyard area from that paneled room. But of course, it was covered up by something. Dude was shutting and locking the back door. And I left, heart pounding, skin icy cold, thinking, holy fuck, what was that? So was this guy some kind of killer? Or was he just an awkward closeted gay guy with access to a sterile looking type of apartment for autopsy /
maybe it's just like
mortuary vibes and a windowless room.
You gotta be
room.
Upfront about those kinks.
Right. Yeah. Let me know. Like, what are we up to?
I have a mortician kink. So lay on the table.
Get on the table. And a windowless room that locks from the outside with a chair and a phone and no light switch. It's clear to me that the poor soul who walks into that room gets locked in. He probably shuts off the light somewhere and calls the phone. Other than that, it's anyone's guess as to what happens.
It is kind of like Saw.
It is.
Yeah, that's literally what I was picturing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like with the phone ringing and you have to in the dark and you got to fucking find and then answer and he gives you directions.
Want to play hot man-to-man sex?
What was it?
You want to have some, what was it again?
Man-to-man fun.
Hot man-to-man fun.
Is this a hot man looking for another hot man for fun?
Imagine he just comes up with like the most horrific voice. Yeah, not deep like Jigsaw, but the exact opposite. So which one is creepier
ever
to you?
Honestly, said the that high
voice would be so much creepier.
Oh my God, I would literally be like, can you please deepen your voice just a little bit?
Please.
Will you please sound like a demonic figure and not
what,
like
did
a little girl?
You just suck on a balloon? Get out of here.
How much helium is in your system right now? Yeah. Where was I at? Other than that, it's anyone's guess as to what happened. I assumed that the friend of a judgmental person who emailed me must have been... because they were like, "I don't agree with your lifestyle, but I'm here to protect you."
Oh, yeah.
Who emailed me must have been some kid that got locked in for whatever games ensue. Driving home, at first, I thought, of course, I have to call the police and tell them what is in that place. But thinking through it, I realized I didn't have any crime to tell them about. I went to meet a man for casual sex and what? He had a room with a chair in it. He has, as I thought at the time, an exam table. The police aren't going to do anything with that story. The guy didn't touch me or do anything to me, and I just left. I considered calling an anonymous tip line, but again, what exactly would I report?
Right. And in 98, 99, fuck no, they're not doing anything. Okay, dude.
I considered calling
for someone gay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was no actionable crime. Also, keep in mind at that time, while the local police in the city were pretty decent, they weren't especially interested in getting involved in helping gays. 100%. Exactly. How many cases have we fucking covered?
Right.
Just like, this. They'd prosecute actual crimes if it was cut and dry, but I'd heard plenty of accounts of them choosing not to follow up on cases where there was not an easy arrest to be made. I decided to not report anything because nothing would come of it except for drawing unwanted attention to myself. Even in retrospect, I think that was probably the most rational choice to make. If this happened today in 2020, the law enforcement would probably have a lot of interest in it. But back then, not so much. So live and learn.
You live and you learn, I guess.
I still drove past that house once in a while in the normal course of life for several years, and I would pay attention to how it looked. The vertical blinds were still closed for maybe 5 or 6 more years after when I passed. Then, eventually, the blinds were down. There were decorative curtains in the window. So I assume this place was eventually sold to someone who actually lived in it. Around 2002, maybe 2003, there was a murder of a young man on the news. He had been found in the next state, which borders on my city, so not very far away. I recognized this guy from the gay community, but I didn't know him personally. A friend mentioned to me something about a local serial killer. I said, what? He explained that a few young men had gone missing over the past year, each after being at one specific dive bar and each being found several miles to the north past the state line and out in the country. The case on the news matched up with that MO. My friend told me that the young guy had been at a bar and left with someone the night that he disappeared. The news report did not mention anything about a gay bar or similar recent cases, of course. I had to wonder if my acquaintance from the internet had anything to do with it. The location of the murders apparently was nowhere near that duplex, at least according to the story I was told. I never heard of a resolution to that murder on the news or any official mention of a suspected serial killer other than just the gossip. So that happened.
I have a fucking theory. The smiley face fucking killer.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I literally was thinking the exact same thing.
They literally target gay men.
Yeah.
In the Midwest, Pittsburgh, Ohio, Cleveland, Columbus, Chicago, Indianapolis. Like, there's this.
I couldn't be farther from true crime.
I was going to say, she doesn't know.
So there's like if you look at like that. If you look it up, you'll see like this map, and it's a bunch of gay men in their 20s who usually are at a bar, and they end up being found sometimes mostly in water in a river, or they'll end up being found and there's a smiley face spray painted near their body. So they're called the smiley face killers. And I say killers plural because a lot of the theories are that it's a group. It's like a serial network of people that are spread out across the Midwest big cities that all communicate on like, you know,
like the incel community.
Chan,
Reddit,
things like that. And they are all like intertwined together or like a collection of like a web of serial killers that are killing gay men. Some people also think it's the cops.
Many people believe it's actually like a serial killer network of law enforcement officers because they're the only cases that do not get fucking solved in these areas.
And never broadcast.
You don't really hear about them because
they never fucking broadcast.
Is it still happening? Is that like, an active thing?
Yeah. It's been going on since what, the 80s? Like,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, then it would almost have to be like definitely not one person.
Right.
Exactly. You would think. Yeah.
Because it's many, many cities. But then again, you have people like Israel Keys who lived in Alaska. And all of his victims were in every different fucking state in the U.S. because he would go there on business trips. He would bury a kill kit. And the next time he came back, if it was 7 years later, if it was 10 years later, he would pull out his kill kit and target someone and kill them.
Yeah.
And then go back to fucking Alaska.
Do you watch Criminal Minds?
No.
Love Criminal Minds.
Did you watch the new season? Like the new, like,
I don't
not
watch
the
it
new
either.
Season, yeah. The new like rendition or whatever they did of the new Criminal Minds. It's literally like smiley face killer. It's
really,
it's about,
I gotta watch it.
It's about a network of serial killers and it's totally like smiley face vibe. Like that's what people think smiley face killer is. But anyway,
what they got rid of that I'm very upset about is Mindhunter on Netflix. That was such a good show. And I'm like, why would you cancel it?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was amazing.
When I listened to that guy talking, it was almost like, or listening to the story.
Yeah.
part of me is like, was that a far jump? Is he like trying to connect two things that were not, that didn't go together? But at the same time, is that me gaslighting myself into thinking like, couldn't be me or couldn't be
right,
him?
Right.
Like,
yeah. No, I mean,
it was kind of logical, creepy, you know, nonetheless.
Like what he was saying about like basically being like, maybe this is a closeted person, that this is the only place that they have access to. And he really is scared of like someone walking in.
But what kind of
in.
Fucking doctor's office are you, is any, they have patients there? I'm just concerned right, the patient.
It's in a duplex?
I'm concerned as well.
In the doctor's office in the apartment building with the one table that's a mortar.
Yeah. So like, I don't really know.
In the phone, the one office phone.
But like at the same time, it could have been something as innocent as that. And then just from that email, maybe he just was like kinky as fuck and like really did like hurt the dude's buddy that emailed and was like,
yeah,
like he fucking wrecked me. Like, bad. Yeah. Like, and he scared the fuck out of me because there was no such thing as a safe word. Like that type of scary situation versus like he physically harmed me, like made me feel like my life was at stake. So I don't know.
That's why if you're gonna like help someone out, like even if you're gonna be anonymous, be descriptive.
Yeah,
at the very least,
all the details,
so that I don't have to fill in the blanks myself.
And if you're gonna ask for a private prayer request, you better give me some deets because
that's all I'm saying.
I just need to know what I'm talking to God about. Like,
yeah, I'm with that. Yeah.
I can't come up ambiguous. Okay. Yeah.
We need to give you a little teaser for our season 4 studio.
You guys know we love a tease.
One thing about us is that we're going to renovate every year.
We're going to renovate.
Like, and it comes with peel and stick wallpaper.
Peel and stick wallpaper.
Year.
So what does that do to us?
Stress us out.
Stress
to
us
the
out.
Max.
But I can't tell what's worse. The curtains that we have to hang or putting up that peel and stick wallpaper.
You're right.
All I know is that my blood pressure spikes every single time, which is why we are so excited to talk to you about our sponsor, Braun,
which is what we had to use while renovating the studio to make sure that we were in a good, healthy body state over here.
Mind, body state, physical, whatever you need. And they just make it so easy with their easy to read indicators.
So take the stress out of monitoring your blood pressure with accurate and easy to get results from the Braun Exact Fit 3.
Braun is a 100-year-old brand that is trusted and built to last. It is clinically proven accurate and easy to read with their extra large display that gives that color-coded indicator.
Love.
So you can take control of your health. It's going to display, like I said, either green, yellow, orange, or red based on the American Heart Association's hypertension guidelines, which is so absolutely slay.
It's amazing.
For a kidney disease girly like me.
Period. No more texting.
No more texting.
No more WebMD.
No more Google. Thank God.
And our favorite setting is their setting to average your last 3 readings because your blood pressure can change throughout the day and it's greatly impacted by stress. And we love seeing a good average number. So go to Amazon and search for Braun Exact Fit 3 Blood Pressure Monitor and use code 20creeps for 20% off.
Like she said, all you got to do is go to our favorite place, Amazon, and search for Braun Exact Fit 3 Blood Pressure Monitor and use our code 20creeps for 20% off.
Pause, pause, pause. Dropping in to talk about the support for today's sponsor, Relatable. This one is for all of our citizen detectives out there, our besties, all of you that are listening to this podcast. If you love nothing more than a juicy mystery or an unsolved case, which I'm assuming you do if you listen, you will love Relatable's newest game, Who Killed Mia?
And you're probably like, I know the name Relatable. Well, it's because of their internet famous party games like What Do You Meme? Let's Get Deep, New Phone Who Dis. So you know their first time dipping their toes into the mystery scene is going to be unlike anything else. And guys, it was.
It really was.
It really was. You guys know when we were back in sleepover time, we were playing board games because no Wi-Fi, too many people, right?
One too many people.
One too many people. And it was so much fun.
And the boys had a blast.
The boys had a blast.
It was got them away from their Call of Duty.
You know what?
And that's a win. Thank you, Relatable, because that is a win in our eyes. Who Killed Mia is a mystery story for the internet age, and it's centered around the fictional but incredibly realistic influencer Mia Starr and her untimely death at the Replay Awards. Players will work to solve the case using a mix of physical and immersive digital evidence. Like, for all of our hackers out there, you get to hack into Mia's phone, as well as gripping live-action videos to uncover the killer.
This sensational and super fun game is available on on the Relatable website, as well as Target, Walmart, Amazon. And you can follow along on Instagram at RealMiaStar and at Who Killed Mia. So calling all of our creeps and crimes besties, Who Killed Mia is for all of our game-loving wannabe detectives.
Get this game for your next game night and find out who killed the world's favorite influencer in Who Killed Mia, a new kind of mystery game from Relatable, the creators of the hit game What Do You Meme? And get 20% off with promo code creepsandcrimes at relatable.com/whokilledmia.
That's promo code creepsandcrimes at relatable.com/whokilledmia.
The one I have is titled Not My Mother, which I picked this title because that sounds fucking scary. Hopefully yeah. it's scary and not racquetball. We'll see.
Yeah.
So this story happened about 11 years ago. I was a senior in high school at the time, but it is the single most mind-boggling thing that I have ever experienced. It's also important to note that it happened in mid-December. I am from Iowa and the winters here get cold at night. Like if you get stuck outside, you will die kind of cold. That plus the snowfall makes everything dead silent. You can hear anything and everything inside the house and even immediately outside of it. Well, me and my best friend were hanging out in my family's walkout basement, just having a boring winter night. What is a walkout basement?
Like when you
I have one. So actually it's my house is built on the hill.
Okay. So you can like you have a back door. Okay. I have one
too. The basement. Yes. Yeah. Is open to the back door. So
right. Halfway underground. Cool. Halfway.
I've never heard it called that.
Yep. Yep.
I didn't
yep.
know that's what it was called. I just thought it was called a basement.
I'm like walking closet.
Oh, it's like a walk-in basement.
Joaquin
Phoenix?
Family's
walking basement.
Walking basement.
Walking James basement.
Walking basement hooker.
Walking James basement hooker. My family's walkout basement, just having a boring winter night playing video games. We were also the only ones home. The reason it was just us is because my mother went from work straight to a bar to grab a few drinks with coworkers. So me and my friend thought it would be a good idea to break into the family wine and live a little. As we were sitting there opening up the first bottle, I heard the door to the garage open and slam shut. I know that was the scariest moment of their life. I immediately go, oh shit, and start looking for places to hide the bottle. My friend then says, I thought you said your mom was supposed to be out all night. She was, I replied. I then heard a few heavy stomps and I hear my mother yell out, meows and boo?
Is your mother a sim?
Schlorbendorf.
Fleefarbenoob.
Meows and boo? I don't know. It says meow, like meow, plural, and boo.
Meow?
It sounds like a sim. You're so fucking right. Meows and boo? I can do the fucking hand.
Zizapanoo. We flarb.
We flarb. I'm a sim bitch. You don't even know how big of a sim bitch I am.
I'm a crib in my fucking life.
So she says, meows and boo? Anyone home? I yell back up the stairs. Yep, just hanging out in the basement. I hear a few more steps move from the garage door towards the stairs and she yells out again. Can you come
help me?
With Flarbenoob, can you come help me with something? I need you up here. I reply back while frantically trying to find a good place to hide the wine bottle. Yeah, just give me a minute. There was a silence for about 20 seconds. Anyone down there with you? She yelled back in a more concerned, serious tone and a voice that was slightly off from my mother's. This was the first thing that told me something wasn't right.
It wasn't the Sims fucking dog.
Meows and boo? Is that a way of saying like normal. Anyone home in Iowa? I don't know. Like meow and boo? I've never heard of that.
Is it Iowa?
Yeah.
Or Idaho?
Iowa.
Well, I just learned that Idaho is beside Washington. So I'm all these I states, they just fucking throw me off anyways.
I feel that.
All two of them. No, Indiana.
Illinois. There's so many.
Bitch.
Only two of them.
Oh, God. I'm so fucking dumb. I don't care.
Oh, shit.
I'm like over here like.
Wait, how many are there, though? Iowa. Indiana, Iowa.
Alabama, Illinois. Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas,
California, Colorado, Connecticut,
Delaware, Florida, Georgia,
Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana,
Iowa,
Idaho,
Kansas,
four. Kentucky. Kansas. Wait,
only four.
Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Nevada. Indiana,
New Hampshire, New Jersey,
New Mexico,
New York.
New York.
So I actually learned a different state song growing up, not that regular one.
And we've done this until, on podcast.
It wasn't until I nannied that I learned the one the rest of the world did. Like,
I really like that one. I don't even know that song except for the part where he goes, Ohio.
How do you do it again?
O-H-I-O.
O-H-I-O.
Let's show them vols.
Uh-huh. Aaron.
Or some people do like
B-O-L-S-B-O-L-S.
Oh my God, are you cheerleaders? Were you cheerleaders?
Yeah, but not at the university. Fuck no. How the fuck did we get here? Okay. Keep going.
That's the tangent.
Okay. So her voice, the tone in her voice was different. This was the first thing that told me something wasn't right. Our family never cared if anyone was over. As our, not the tone in the voice, so the way she, the, because she asked, like, that's what told you it was wrong. Like, I feel like if my mom, if that's not my mom's voice, I'm gonna be like, red fucking flag.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our family never cared if anyone was over, as our house was a very open house to all family and friends. And the voice, it was just wrong. Like, it sounded like my mother's, but it was missing something that I couldn't put my finger on. Weirded out, I replied back, just Colton. After I yelled then that back to her, I found a good place to hide the bottle and I began walking up the steps to the next level. Now, as I was walking up the steps, I couldn't help but feel the overbearing silence of the house and the slight electric twinge that something isn't right. When I got to the top of the steps, I look over to where the door to garage is and also the kitchen right next to it, and it's black, pitch black, all of if the lights were off. And there was no moonlight shining through any windows. I walked over to the kitchen yelling out, Mom, where are you? And there was no reply, just silence and darkness. I feel the electric twinge turn into full needles and my adrenaline kicking in full force. I have to get out of here as fast as possible because my mother was not home. I run back down the stairs, grabbing my coat along the way. What's wrong? Colton says, my mom's not home. I reply as fast as I can, looking for my truck keys. What do you mean? You were just talking with her. And I could see like how confused he was. There's no one home. We need to leave now. I took a few steps towards the back door that opens up to the yard, and then I see my dog shaking on the couch and my cat growling behind it. I couldn't leave them.
The cat?
Yeah.
That's immediately how you know.
I couldn't leave them. Yeah. I just knew that if we left, something would happen. Are we leaving? Colton said, still confused as all hell. No, I can't leave them here alone. Something is really off. I'm going to call my mom and figure this out. I pull out my phone and call my mom, and she picks up immediately. Meows and boo? What's going on? Mom, were you just home? I heard you yelling for me from the second level, and when I went up there, you weren't there. I said frantically, hoping that she was just playing a joke. No, I'm just leaving the bar. I wasn't feeling very well. Are you okay? What do you mean you heard me? I fill her in on the whole story, and she rushes home. Colton and I stayed in the basement with the animals until she got home, but before she did, you could hear something upstairs. Not walking or sitting on things, but a pressure in the air. Like a black hole was slowly moving from one room to the next. And the word that I would instinctively describe it as is hungry.
Hungry? Ew. Yeah, I don't like that.
When she got home, you could feel the thing leave just as quick as it came. Like an overbearing, predatory presence had just flown away. We still have never figured out what the hell was going on. And this is just one story of many unexplainable things that have happened to us. But this is the easiest to write down.
She's got full on chill.
My mother has passed away now and I have moved away to Arizona. But whenever I go back to Iowa and I see Colton, he still gets creeped out by what had happened. I will never truly know what happened, but I know that whatever it was that had my mother's voice, it was evil and it was hungry.
Doppelganger.
Ew.
Dude, doppelgangers.
Okay, first of all.
The DGs, the Delta Gammas are so fucking.
Like, aren't there something called mimics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
I want to talk about that.
They're similar to doppelgangers.
Stop saying that.
DGs. But what is it called when you get an ultrasound? A Doppler?
Doppler.
Dopplers. The difference between Dopplers and mimics is that the mimics you never see, dops you do.
Well, she never saw her mom.
So then.
Yeah, so that would be so more of a mimic.
She only heard it.
This is a mimic.
You guys have to listen to our whole episode on DGs.
I do, but I'm scared too.
I'm so afraid of them. We are very, like, we love it. So it's so nice that so many in the podcast realm who are into, like, creepy, spooky, true crime things have, like, brought us into their worlds. And then the second they get excited and try to talk to us about it, we're like, love that. Don't.
That's our thing. That's our thing. We say love it.
Hate it.
Big time.
Hate it. I think, I don't know if I saw a preview or maybe I saw a video of your collab with Sinisterhood and you were talking about sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have had many a sleep paralysis episode and one of them that I actually think I told on Sinisterhood. I was FaceTiming my husband. We were long distance when we were dating. He was in Florida. I was in Ohio. And we used to fall asleep on FaceTime together. And so my computer was open and I was laying down. He was playing video games. And I fall asleep, I guess, but I am having a sleep paralysis episode where I can see myself in the camera and I'm smiling and I see myself get up and get closer to the camera, but my head is like doing this and but my smile is getting bigger. And I am stuck, like yelling in my head, help me, help me, help me, thinking like something is trying to come over me right now. So the next day, I call Shane because I open my eyes and my computer's closed. And he goes, you just sat up and closed your computer. Like you were asleep and then all of a sudden you sat up and closed the computer. You didn't say goodbye. You didn't say anything. It was just like you were done. Don't remember doing that. No recollection.
What the
so
fuck?
Creepy. Right?
Mm-hmm. So anytime we talk about like mimics or DGs and stuff, D words, I don't fuck with that noise.
No, that is bad.
Oh yeah.
It's the only time I've ever had sleep paralysis, I finally could get, and I don't even think it was sleep paralysis. Like I think it was literally fucking happening because the way that Logan saw me when he finally woke up, I was being choked and I was going, but I couldn't get words. I couldn't get vocals behind it. So it was just air. And so I have my eyes open to him going, and he grabs me.
Screaming or saying help?
No, I couldn't speak. Remember, I was just.
But you were trying to get help.
Like, I think the only thing I could get out was like, like that. And so finally he grabs me in a second. He grabbed me. And like, that is the most trapped I've ever felt in my fucking life. I couldn't imagine seeing myself doing it.
So that was horrifying because I'm like, I think something, because a lot of like weird, spooky stuff was happening in the house at that time. And my sister was living with us and our sisters are also very close in age. They're like 6 months apart or something. Mm-hmm. And they played with a Ouija board when they were young and like let some shit out.
Yeah.
That's followed them forever. And I think whenever we were living in the same house, there was a lot of tension between my sister and I. And I think it was just like breeding the chaos.
Yeah.
So I was terrified that whatever it was now trying to like get at me or scare me.
Yeah.
And then when I had my son, Ollie, my oldest, I was sleeping in my room. I was staying home because I was doing photography. My husband would go to work. So, you know, those memes where it's like my husband coming to kiss me before work and you're just like...
Yeah,
that was me. So he kisses me. He leaves. I'm sleeping and I hear footsteps and I think, oh, he just forgot something. And I hear the door open. And again, I'm expecting to hear his keys jingling or like him rustling with something. And I don't hear anything. And so I open my eyes and I can't move. But there's an old woman standing in my door and she looks at me. And then I hear Ollie crying. And she turns around and walks out of the room and into his room. And I can see her on the monitor going to pick him up. Mm-hmm. And I am like panicking because I can't move. And now I'm watching this person go get my baby. Eventually, obviously, I was able to move.
But what was fucking crazy is without telling me that that happened, I went to her house then. That day, I think maybe we were recording or we were doing something for the podcast. And that was back when it was at her house. And I walked in and started talking. Because when you first walk in, it's like a little breezeway like situation. And you can see into the kitchen through the window. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was open. So I started talking like to her. Then I went in and she wasn't there. I think you were downstairs or something. And I was like, dude, I just swear to God that I just thought you were upstairs. I thought I saw you like standing in a white like dress outfit. In your window. Fuck, and she's like, oh my fucking God. And then tells me the story all in the same day. I was like, okay, we need to leave. I'm okay with doing this.
Burn the fucking bitch down.
So scary.
Yes.
Not for very much longer, hopefully.
But you know what I do have to say is that I really don't feel like it's like a bad spirit.
No.
You know?
I don't know.
Like, there's this, like,
I don't know.
There's the old man.
If anything's going towards my baby and it's got me in a chokehold, not a chokehold, but like frozen.
In,
like,
paralysis. That's not... But also paralysis happens because you're someone who has spiritual gifts who's not, when you're not open to having your gate open.
Yeah.
And so you basically get trapped in like this in-between where you see it, but you can't do anything about it because if you were conscious, then you would close that gate. I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'd feel like a man was staring at me and I would look up and he'd be standing over me and I'd be like, we talked about this, you know, like, mm-hmm. please. And so finally I had Susan come in and be like, she said you could stay here. You just have to be respectful. She's respectful of your home. Be respectful mm-hmm. of her. And so finally he chilled out and was good. And I haven't had an issue with him since.
I actually, as you were saying that, remember that when we first moved in, there was more stuff happening at the house. Like we lived in the basement for 6 months while we renovated the entire main level. And that's where, like, there's a landing living room type area.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being down there with Ollie and I was working, doing laundry, doing whatever, because everything upstairs in disarray, and the doorbell would ring.
Mm.
If I pressed the doorbell 1,000 times, it would never ring.
Like, really?
It would not go off. Like, it was there, but like it wasn't functional.
Didn't fucking work.
But I'd be in the basement and I would hear it go off. And at one point, I genuinely thought somebody was standing at the top of the stairs and I was hearing it go off. Finally, I was like, we have to rip this out of the wall. Like, we have to get rid of it because it will not stop going off. And it's freaking me the fuck out.
Yeah.
So
fuck that.
Only when you were in the basement
with the, well, I mean, we didn't keep it long enough to find out if it was going to happen when we were upstairs.
But like, you would like go back up and you'd be like, and it wouldn't work for you.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Like, what if since you were sleeping, what if like he was crying, but you didn't hear it until after you like became super aware. So she was like, Will you please come?
I'll go
and I'll try my best, but will you please come? will you follow me?
We have to co-parent together, babe.
I know.
Yeah.
Just, like, we just need to work on our communication.
We got to communicate a little bit better. So if you could open this fucking gate so I could stop trapping you in your sleep, that'd be great.
I would love that. I don't know anything about my gate. But I do know that like any psychic I've ever talked to, any medium I've ever talked to, any person who's sensitive that I've talked to is like, you are.
Yeah.
You are.
I know that you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, it's not something that you, it's part of me was gaslighting myself. Like we all the time, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But we both have gotten that from multiple people. And we've even heard from people in our family that
we're
that's
honestly
like a generational thing.
The exact same way. Like I can trust myself enough now to be like confident in it. Morgan's more so than me. Morgan dead ass sees what's going to happen in her dreams.
Yeah, I'm like very like premonition vibe.
Yeah, and then I'll think of something, like something'll just come into my head.
I have deja vu
all the time.
Same.
And she'll call me and she'll be like, "Hey, I need to say this," and whatever it is that she's calling me or like I saw this or it came in my head 5 seconds before the phone rang. It's the craziest shit.
Mhm.
But you just, you got to get, it took me getting wine drunk and accidentally reading people to trust myself.
There you go.
At a sushi bar.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to give you guys the option for the last story. I've got, here are the titles we've got. The paranormal encounter of a police officer, but there is a trigger warning for suicide. The horrifying quarantine experience. My daughter's imaginary friend. My L&D nurse was a ghost.
Oh,
my friendly ghost named Dave, or never fuck with Ouija boards.
Bah. I'm interested in the L&D.
I was
either,
I don't have a vote, but if I did, L&D.
L&D. I think I want to read that one too. Okay, good.
That's very interesting. As two people, we've had multiple labor and delivery nurses, and I'm like, how the fuck was one a ghostie?
One of our best friends is a L&D nurse.
My mother-in-law is, and she's. It's awesome because when I went to have my daughter, she like had the hookup for me.
Fuck
so
yeah.
All the people were coming in and they were like, "Oh, you're Susan. This is going to be Susan's granddaughter." Oh, her name's Susan too, which is really funny.
Susan.
But they were like, "This is Susan's granddaughter. We'll hook you up."
So many popsicles. I would be sold.
Okay, ready? This is from Ghost Stories, and it was written by Lola Bunny 3000, which Lola is my sister. So, and she carries around a bunny.
Oh, that's weird.
Wild.
Interesting. And she's going to school to be a nurse.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh.
Wow. My nurse was a ghost is what the title is. In 2020, at the beginning of COVID, I had just given birth. At this time, I could only have one person in the room with me my entire stay at the hospital. Of course, my kid's father was there, but like the third day, he had left to clean up our house and get everything prepared for the baby and I. I had gotten sick and had a C-section, so I had to stay for about 4 to 5 days. Well, while he was away, a nurse named Kelly said that she would be helping me out throughout the day and spending time with me so I didn't feel lonely while Dad was gone. I couldn't really hold my baby due to being sick and the pain from my C-section, so my nurse would come in every time it was time to feed. And I noticed when they came in, they wouldn't acknowledge Kelly. And she would go to the furthest part of the room and she would tell me, I'm just going to get out of the way. Now, she did tell me that she didn't specialize in what they did. So she was just there for comfort. I didn't really question anything. The entire day, she was so helpful and encouraging to me. I really believe I would have broken down if it wasn't for her being there with me. She was such a sweetheart. Well, after 5 or 6 hours, she told me that she had to leave and that she would come visit me before her shift was over to see how I was doing. She hugged me and blew a kiss at my baby before walking out of the room. Later that night, Dad came back and he was very upset. He had told me some stuff happened with his mom and that he was sorry he took so long. I was upset, but I told him a nurse named Kelly kept me company. As I'm telling him about her, my nurse is changing my sheets and she's like, wait, who is Kelly? I explained and she said nobody named Kelly was in my room or working that day. I instantly thought about those women who would pretend to be nurses and kidnap children. But totally. My nurse told me that I may have been hallucinating and she went and told my doctor. I talked to my doctor and he said the same thing. Well, a couple of hours later, a nurse that I didn't recognize came into my room and said, I know this might sound crazy, but everyone on the floor is talking about how you saw Kelly. And I said, yeah, she was here with me for about 7 hours today and she helped me out a lot. Mm-hmm. We're smiling and laughing while I was telling her about Kelly and just how sweet and funny she was. Then she pulled up her phone and showed me pictures of her and Kelly that looked to be from maybe the early 2000s. I was smiling knowing that I wasn't hallucinating. Then she sat down and told me that Kelly died over 10 years ago from domestic violence with her boyfriend. I wasn't too shocked because my entire life I had been dealing with the paranormal, but I got chills. I never had another encounter this deep. Well, the lady gave me a hug and started crying and saying, now I know that she is okay. Since that day, I've been kind of wondering, why did Kelly come into my room and help me? And I kind of wish I could see her again.
So do that was a good one to end it on.
Oh, yeah. That Shit. Was really sweet. Do you think Kelly... So was Kelly a nurse there? It didn't say, right?
Yeah, I guess she would have been, had to have been a nurse.
Or do you think
there.
She was just hanging around her friend that is a nurse
Maybe.
There?
Maybe.
And like,
aww. But for her just to like talk.
How whatever came into yeah. my soul or whatever.
Yeah, you know? Just like was there just to help her.
She just needed help.
What's wild is too, there was a little bit of time where they said something about hallucinating because when I had my daughter, I spiked like a really weird fever right after I had her mm-hmm. and it was like high and they had to like, wrap me in these blankets and try to give me I had like antibiotics that they were IV and taking and it was crazy. But during that time, I had also just given birth. Like
right.
so I'm shaking, like convulsing yeah. because the epidural is leaving my body and all these things.
Right.
And there were people in and out. And then I said something. They were like, you were literally talking gibberish. Like I wasn't speaking coherently.
And, boo.
And like I was talking like a fucking sim. And I remember people being in the room that then I was like, were they even fucking there? Was I hallucinating that entire time? So, but that I'm glad that that ending happened I the way know. That it did.
So
cause that was really awesome.
I know.
So
and
sweet.
Like the fact that she just knew that she needed her that day. Like she was a new mama there by herself. She was yeah. sick. It was COVID. She was already feeling like.
And she blew her a kiss, right?
Yeah. She blew the baby yeah. a kiss and hugged her. So she like physically hugged her.
Yeah.
Just there for comfort. That's beautiful.
Oh my God. I love Kelly. Women, even in the afterlife, yeah. especially when they don't Same. Wear white and red fucking dresses like Jesus and just walk around spooking people.
Yeah, maybe, Jerry, maybe yeah. you have a nurse Kelly in your house.
Maybe.
If Taylor's right.
I have a grandpa Kelly in my house. That's my dad.
I don't know who that bitch was.
You don't think it was nurse Kelly?
Not offering help. That was. And I've not seen her since.
It's not
she
Kelly.
Said. So that's all she
it would
did.
Just add, it would just add another color to the house. Another green.
Yeah,
green.
No.
Oh,
that's so good.
Are we going to predict?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, everyone give one prediction. You guys give a prediction for us.
Okay, well,
for you two?
Yeah. I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because the prediction that I was going to give.
I have one.
I feel like it kind of already.
may or may not be fucking happening right now. But you can still go ahead and say it.
So at the before we even really started and we mentioned like I want to make predictions, I immediately heard new home. And so I thought Morgan's going to be in a new home at this point. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to be in a home at this point. Not a nursing home.
I hope it's a home somewhere.
We're going to put you in a home.
But I assumed when I heard new home that Morgan was going to be in a house and like it was going to be almost like a divine intervention. Like as horrible as this was, there's like a good something thing. Coming.
Yeah.
But then it might be for Taylor. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, both of us, because if I'm out, she's in.
There you go.
And then we don't have to move the whole stewed.
Oh my God. That would be so saying. Nice.
I know.
My prediction is this for the season or
it could be for the next year of our life, October to October. Yeah.
I think live shows. And whether that's virtual or in-person live shows, I'm just thinking a live show.
I also think there's going to be a surprise pregnancy.
Fucking
why did you have to say that now?
I think it's kill gonna, the vibe. I do think it's going to be a surprise.
Well, that's the only way it would happen.
Certainly no one here is
And like in my mind, what I feel right now, this is me taking Taylor's advice of just like going with
just
it.
Just do it.
What I feel right now
Don't say Morgan.
An oh fuck moment, but like, all right, okay, here we go. Oh,
my prediction is not that like I'm not saying this because I think we have anything planned because like we've been saying this since like the year one.
You making me pee myself. I'm getting nervous. Keep going.
Oh no, I just think that we're gonna have something in the works or something out within season four that has nothing to do with true crime, paranormal, and conspiracy.
That's what I would like a lot.
Whether like a show or like a vlog thing or like something that's not like we're gonna have something else. I think
we can finally branch out. That's been our goal,
like a spinoff.
We want to go into something more similar to like what you guys do, where we even though we would never abandon this, you know, like we wouldn't take this completely away. It's just that we enjoy this. This is what we like doing. It's just that. When we were like, what would be the reason that anybody would listen to us is that we can tell a story. It has to be edited first. Because I can't fucking read.
But we can tell it. Like, if we can tell it.
If my predictions are true, moving into a new home and like establishing that and also having a baby.
A baby.
Provides a lot of content.
It's a lot of content.
It's a lot of content. That. You want to be a mommy vlogger? Okay, Sierra, your turn.
I had a dream that I was ditching her.
Jerry,
oh
yeah,
we said that. We told them that I was going to ditch you to be a crunchy mom.
That was on our Patreon live.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I had a dream that she got pregnant, and then she wanted me to be excited for her, but I couldn't because she was like, "I'm actually leaving the podcast, and I'm going to become a crunchy mom influencer on TikTok or whatever social media." And I was like, "Fuck you!
Fuck,
why would you do that?
Fuck off right now!
Don't you fucking dare
do that to me!"
Get out of my dreams.
I think that everything will happen because I know it's going. Not that I think, I know those things are coming. That's just like I've already seen it. I know it's there. It's the thing that I see coming in this next season is like, I don't want to say like abundance, but I want to say like this was the last of the foundation. Like we're laying the last level of brick. We're like, you know, putting that down. Like I feel like now we can finally like put up the walls of the home and like grow from here. So I think you being like full time with me, are we both being us both being able to have substantial like actual income from the podcast coming in, not having to work other jobs, being able to be more creative with it, have more time. Like that's really what I've been thinking would be coming by November in a certain, like I've always said November, it's going to be a November, something that has to do with like 11 or an in like a November, or second to last, like second to like something like that. There's something that has to do with November that has to do with the fact that I think we can like finally get to a place where we can open up and fractal out and begin, you know, building like wealth from
hit your
it.
Stride.
Yeah.
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 I love that. I'm love here all
for
the above.
I'm here for all the above minus, Baby.
The babies.
The babies.
Well, I'll have to talk to whoever told me.
Yeah, and thank God.
You know, if they can change it.
I really am scared because that was really, those are the best, most accurate readings I had ever done was back when I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to trust me. Like,
yeah,
I'm just going to trust me. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. It's going
to
come out of my mouth.
I don't normally like to even talk about pregnancies because that's mm-hmm. such a touchy thing. Yeah. And like, you don't know if people want children, if people are struggling to have children, if mm-hmm. people have experienced losses, and just being like, it's coming is almost like, I don't want to put false hope into something. But at the same time, it was like,
Oh my God. I'm so excited for season 4. 444, which means like so fucking much to us.
444 has been our angel.
There's
number.
Two.
One, yours too. Yeah.
I love
They've
that.
They've been seeing it.
Well, I think Morgan wasn't there.
She wasn't.
When we were.
Mm-mm.
So I don't always clock numbers, but when I feel I'm being told to clock a number, I announce it. And so, Taylor, I think you were telling like the story of the
Yeah,
podcast?
The story of like we were seeing 222-444-888.
Well, you hadn't mentioned this,
you know, not even at that part
yet. You didn't even tell that part yet. And I said, I just want you to, you were saying that you wanted to get in touch. You wanted to open your gate to talk
My
to
gate,
your spirit
yep.
guides.
That's what it was.
To get it
the
fuck
Lion's
together.
Gate. Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I want you to know that I have already typed 444 on my phone because when you started talking about that, I looked down and it was 444 on the clock. I heard 444 on the clock. And so I looked up what that was the angel number. And so that is when Taylor
I
was
I even
like,
wore my 444 for you today.
Oh, I love it.
I know. I saw it and I was like, it like flew out of my bag when I was trying to find her some earrings. Flew out of my bag and
no,
I was
you
like.
Did. You took this necklace off. Let me wear it.
Yeah.
And then
I was like, I have to put this on. I don't know why again. And then I was like, oh, wait, she saw 444. Like, maybe that's why. So I put it on. But
wow, Trey, that's
going to be
crazy.
Good stuff.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you guys for coming on our last fucking episode of season 3. Episode 157.
I have no idea what we got planned for the next week's episode.
Say a prayer. Okay. We're in
that's
August
single
digits.
That's my prediction. This shit's going to be good.
No, we're in our first double digit. It's 10.
I thought you were talking about 8 and I was like, sure, whatever you say.
Yep, ma'am.
I don't care.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.